Preserving the knowledge of what used to happen where we live takes some effort. Without the work of historians and librarians and volunteers and more, our history might literally crumble to dust. Many of the people who help preserve the heritage of Oregon will gather later this month for the Oregon Heritage Conference in Coos Bay and North Bend. Here's our chance to get a preview and talk more generally about the heritage process. Our guest is Kyle Jansen, the coordinator for the Oregon Heritage Commission. Kyle, thanks for joining us on The Exchange.
Thank you for inviting me, Jeff.
For the people who don't know, what is the Oregon Heritage Commission?
The Oregon Heritage Commission is the state agency that coordinates on issues related to preservation and the broad umbrella of heritage, including archaeology, training. We give out grants to support the effort. So we're sort of the grease that keeps the big heritage machine in Oregon operating.
I've always wondered why it's under state parks, though.
It's very common in states across the country that state heritage and state history organizations are related under the state parks organizations, in part because the National Park Service is a part of the which hosts the National Register and some other federal historic preservation programs, is actually under the Department of Interior, which is a huge major landowner in the country. So the relationship between cultural history and natural history is quite strong.
Okay, it makes sense, too, when you think about the fact that when you go to visit, you know, historic sites, they are parks often.
Correct.
That kind of thing. Give us an idea, Kyle, if you would, about the scope of people and organizations involved in researching and protecting Oregon's heritage.
It really covers the breadth of a community. We have people who will be coming to our conference who are actually small business owners in downtowns who happen to be in a historic building, but they're wanting to, you know, figure out how can you make money in a traditional downtown business area, which may, for various reasons, be struggling these days or had better times in the past. We'll also have people who manage cemeteries come, and they'll be trying to learn about some of the latest technology in terms of grave finding and other research techniques. We'll have people there who are experts in digitization, the scanning of historic documents or taking photographs of historic objects and communicating those. We'll have experts in social media coming to talk. So it really runs the whole breadth of thing of life in a community. You know, we all have our interests and our passion, and, you know, I bet you behind all of that, there's some heritage popping up, and it's going to pop up in different ways for different people.
When you talk about things like the technology for grave finding and some of the other things that have come down the pike in recent years, and ground penetrating radar, and all some several segments we've spent at the Exchange talking about such things, it seems like technology has really benefited people in the heritage business.
Oh, absolutely. You know, there's this old stereotype that museums just collect stuff and put it on shelves and let the cobwebs cover it all up over the years, and they don't pay any attention. But I think today's heritage community is as vibrant as any other in that, you know, they want to embrace technology. They want to be great storytellers like Garrison Keillor is. They want to help people be able to earn money using heritage resources. It's really a pretty wonderful community in that regard.
Having said that, though, that the technology does great things for you, the fact is it's also somewhat expensive, it would seem like, and so that seems like it is often an issue. And I know particularly in Jackson County, people can relate to what happened to the Southern Oregon Historical Society, losing tax-based funding and turning into a complete nonprofit, that it's a trick. Dollars are always a trick, it seems like, for heritage organizations.
It is, and that's probably the biggest struggle that I ever hear about is, you know, that heritage organizations need more money, and, you know, many do, and we'd love to help them develop in a way that the public will then say, gee, we want our tax dollars to support that heritage organization, whether it be preserving, giving grants for downtown historic buildings to be improved, or that when they go home in the evening and go online and they decide to do some research on their own family's history, that there's information there that has been produced by the local historical organization in the community they're searching.
Kyle Jansen is our guest on the Jefferson Exchange, coordinator at the Oregon Heritage Commission. We're talking about the whole heritage process of preserving Oregon's history and heritage, and about also the Oregon Heritage Conference coming up April 22nd through 24th on the Central Coast in Oregon. You can join us on the Jefferson Exchange, 800-838-3760, 800-838-3760. Email address is jx@jeffnet.org. It seems like when we talk about the challenge, I think today's newspaper from Medford was a great example of the kinds of things that happen in the heritage business, Kyle, because on the one hand, there was a story in there about the Molalla Log House, Oregon's perhaps oldest pioneer structure, being brought inside another building and refurbished, while in the same issue of the paper, there was also a story about one of the houses that belonged to a pioneer family in Phoenix, the Ferry family, slated for demolition. It's about 110 years old and doesn't look like it's going to make it.
Yeah, that's the challenge in communities across the state, is that how do you decide what's important for your community to try to preserve and to or develop? And it's only when communities gather together, or communities as a group gather together and figure out, okay, this is what we want to emphasize in our heritage efforts, whether it's the preservation of a building or preservation of objects or preservation of paper. It really needs to be the community coming together and having a discussion about, you know, what's important for all of us in this community, not just those families who have been there for, you know, 150 years. It's also for those families who might have come just 75 years ago or 10 years ago. They're as much a part of the community as everybody else. But, you know, the phrase I've always heard is that you don't have a community unless you can tell stories about the place. And it's really important that the stories can be illustrated. You know, a picture is worth 1,000 words. You know, it's just like a historic house can be worth 1,000 words in that whole heritage story. So it's something that communities need to talk about how they're going to do that. It's just like solving a sewer problem or a water problem. It needs to be people coming together to talk and work together.
It's easy to see the difference, particularly in the house context, where you talk about the difference between having a house that may be 150 years old versus having a plaque there that tells the story of where the house was, because it's not there anymore.
Yeah. People get real excited when they can see a house and actually go into it, much more so than to, you know, drive by and see a lonely sign with a plaque on it that says this was the site of, and people have no idea what that place might have looked like or anything about the people who lived there. And having a house still there, you can get that kind of story.
You mentioned, Kyle, the bad rap for heritage organizations sometimes. All they want to do is collect things and put them on shelves to gather cobwebs, I think is what you said. Is it hard not only to dispel that, but also to get younger people involved in preserving heritage? Because it seems like they don't tend to get interested until they're old enough to appreciate the fact that things are different from what they once were. Now it's about preserving my heritage.
You know, I think every generation, as it gets older, says, oh, the young people just don't care about heritage. And I think that's totally wrong. I know quite a few folks who are younger who, you get them in a place, you know, like Monticello in Virginia, where Thomas Jefferson was doing all these incredible scientific experiments or literary stuff, and it was happening right there. And some of the most intense conversations one can have sometimes are in these heritage sites. In fact, we try to promote the development of new heritage scholars through our Oregon Heritage Fellows program, where we bring in 3 students to our conference to talk about topics that they have uncovered that are very interesting to them, and some of what they find is very much changing the heritage story both for us and for future generations.
When you folks gather for the Oregon Heritage Conference, April 22nd to 24th, does there tend to be a hot story when you gather together, whether it's, you know, the Malala Log House or the potential demolition of a house in Phoenix or the caves in Lake County and their significance to actual population of North America? I mean, is there usually some big story that everybody's buzzing about when you get to one of these conferences?
Usually not, because, you know, as I described earlier, people in heritage have very diverse interests. What really becomes the hot story during our conference is the local community where the conference is taking place. Well, we will be in Coos Bay, North Bend, in a couple of weeks. Folks are going to be very interested in how the folks there are developing and preserving their community heritage, giving the inside stories on, you know, why has the Coos Historical Maritime Museum been so successful in fundraising in order to build a new structure down there on the waterfront in Coos Bay. They'll be interested in, you know, how does the Marshfield Cemetery work with the latest technology in terms of looking at potential grave sites. We'll be talking with the Coos County Emergency Manager about disaster planning there, because disasters could hit any community, not just Coos Bay. And so really the hot topic of our conference becomes what's happening in the community where we're located.
And how many people come to the Oregon Heritage Conference?
It really varies. We travel around the state so that people from, you know, they may not be able to travel every year, but at some point that they'll be able to attend. So we've had up to 450 people attending our conference, and this year we're probably have about 150.
I wonder if any time when these things break up, if you come out with some sort of approaches to talk to legislators about tax policy, anything else that might help the heritage process.
Yes. We often find that we're able to facilitate conversations at our conference, whether it be about tax credit programs or funding for county historical societies, that there are conversations that start there. But it's not all about, you know, trying to figure out, okay, where's the next pot of money? Some of it is more about, okay, how can we cooperate on this issue? How can we develop one standard so that we're all doing the same thing, so that we can find ways of cooperating, collaborating, and in by doing that, making heritage more available throughout the state. You know, I'm thinking of digitization. You know, if you scan photographs with the same specifications, you can then put them up onto a website that will be functional for the images of all those communities, which, you know, really then better serves the public at no additional cost to organizations because they're talking with one another.
It's all about accessibility, people being able to actually almost put their hands on their own history.
Right.
Kyle Jansen is our guest on the Jefferson Exchange. He's the coordinator for the Oregon Heritage Commission. The Oregon Heritage Conference takes place April 22nd through the 24th in Coos Bay and North Bend. Kyle, thanks so much for joining us today on the Jefferson Exchange.
Thanks for inviting me, Jeff.
You bet.